This week, we get to celebrate Thanksgiving. How many of you like Thanksgiving as a holiday? It's a pretty hard one not to like. I think eating has become more of a big thing about Thanksgiving than giving thanks. But that's why we're here. So we can talk about Thanksgiving a little bit and talk about the giving of thanks and everything. And I'd like you to turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and in verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 16. And it says this, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do you think about this, in everything giving thanks, as being the will of God in Christ Jesus for you? See, I think when we think about what the will of God is, we might think about being obedient or what God wishes or what God wants in a lot of different ways, right? Be kind to one another, be forgiving, right? Be generous, be merciful. We might think of not murdering, not committing adultery, but having fidelity or giving life. We might think of God's will in many different ways. But have you seen this verse before in this way where God says, in everything give thanks, this is the will of God? And when we think about this, do we see this in our lives today? As we come here and we read these simple verses in Thessalonians, do we see that, wow, what is the will of God for me to be doing? It's to be giving thanks in everything. And notice it says in everything. It doesn't say in a couple things and some things, in the things that we have judged and determined to be what we want. It says in everything. In everything. Give thanks. Now, I think that this is so amazing. As we kind of get into this, this whole concept is so not of this world. It is so of God. But I hope that what we'll see is there is an actual tool that God is giving us here, a tool that changes so much more than just saying thank you or having appreciation. But what it does in our hearts and in our minds is revolutionary. Turn over with me to Colossians 3:12. Colossians 3:12, it says this, "As the elect of God." Okay, now doesn't that get you excited? Just as the elect of God, God talking to you, "as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." So when you think about the context of this as elect of God, again, many things that we would say, oh yes, be merciful, kind, humility, meekness, long-suffering, all these great qualities and characteristics of what it is to be a follower of God, to know God, to come after God. And then he says, and be thankful. Be thankful. And then notice what he says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Whatever you do, in word or deed. So he says in 1 Thessalonians, in everything give thanks. Now he's saying, whatever you do in word or deed, do all giving thanks. There's a heart, there's a mindset about which we are to be doing things in life. And that heart is with thanksgiving. You can't really remove this and still be in the will of God. Rather, in the doing of this, there is a walk in the way of God. I want us to see that there is something so powerful that Paul teaches, and it's not just in these two places. Turn in with me now over to Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 15, Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15, because this concept of giving thanks is so core to who we are as Christians, and having a thankful heart and having an appreciative heart. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." All right, so again, really strong, clear instruction. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. So again, if we are to be wise and understand what the will of the Lord is, the will of the Lord is that, at least in part, in everything that we give thanks. That whatever we do in word or deed, we give thanks. And as it says here, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you're giving thanks to God in all things, for all things, in whatever you do or say, you're giving thanks. What are you really doing in that exercise? What is the thing that giving of thanks, what is it really saying? Well, you're praising Him, right? Trusting Him, right? So Denise just said, the giver of everything. I want you to think about that in the greatest sense, because when we thank somebody, we're acknowledging that they gave us something, right? We're saying, I am acknowledging that you have done something for me that I couldn't do for myself, or I wasn't able to do for myself, or I didn't. You did it for me, right? And in that, there's an acknowledgement of the giver. And there's an acknowledgement here when he's saying, this is the will of God, that in all things, what? Give thanks. That we have an acknowledgement in everything we speak, in everything we say, in everything, all things, acknowledge Him. What would you call that? What would be a word, a biblical word, that if we were acknowledging God in everything, always, in everything that we do, what would we call that? Well, I'm going to use the word faith. Because you got to believe that God exists, and that He is involved in every area of your life. But what does that do when you start acknowledging God as the giver of everything, and that in all things, whatever we're doing, we are putting Him at the focus and the forefront? Honoring Him. Yes. What else? Acknowledging He is sovereign. Yes. Yes. You're humbling yourself. You're realizing the position. When you say thank you, you are saying, I'm humbling myself to acknowledge you've done something for me, right? Even if it's human, we're acknowledging the gift that somebody else, the grace that they have shown, the mercy they've shown, the forgiveness they've shown. We're acknowledging that we were in a position where they were able to help us or give to us, and we're acknowledging that. And with God, He's saying, acknowledge me in all that you do. In all things, this is the will of God, that in everything you would acknowledge me as being engaged in your life. Right? So humility, humbling, knowing He's sovereign, honoring Him, praising Him, trusting Him. What else? Obedience. Obedience. How do you see that? All right. So obedience in terms of the acknowledgement of Him. So you wouldn't be going in living your life if you were being thankful to God in all things. You would be obedient as a part of that spirit, right? Beautiful. Good. Okay, so you see His presence in everything. Yes. Doug, what'd you say? Worship. Okay, as a receiver, receiving things. So when we look at just some of the characteristics of this, or what it kind of generates, I want us to think about the giving of thanks as the acknowledgement of God, and what that does in our lives when in all things, in everything, we're acknowledging Him. Thanksgiving is basically the language of faith, hope, and love. It is the essence of understanding who God is, in that our appreciation to Him flows to Him, giving thanks in all things. But it's putting Him at the forefront, and in the acknowledgement of God, life changes. The just, it says in the Scriptures, live by faith. Faith is saying what? All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. Romans 8:28. Where does that come from? If all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose, isn't that the essence of acknowledgement? Isn't that the essence of thanksgiving? It's saying, God, You are my everything, and in everything I give You praise. I give You thanks. Now, I want us to contrast this just for a moment. Turn with me over to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, notice with me here in verse 13. Philippians chapter 2, and pick it up with me here in verse 13. It says this, "It is God who works in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you shine as lights in the world." Why do you think it is, if we're not complaining and disputing, we are what? Being thankful, right? The opposite of being a complainer, whining, is giving thanks, right? The opposite side of that. So if you think about this in the contrast, if we do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, wouldn't it be then that in everything where we're giving thanks is to be blameless, to be harmless, and to be children of God? So as we contemplate these verses today, do we see that in everything to give thanks is God's will? It's the will of God in Christ Jesus for us, because we're to be children of God, blameless and harmless. And we are because we trust in God. We humble ourselves. We view ourselves as low before God. He's the giver. We're the receiver. And as He gives to us, it makes that want to overflow to others. You know what's interesting about this? Have you ever noticed that when you're in a complaining or whiny attitude, it's like you're judging everything? How long does it take me to get my food in this place? Would somebody please bring me some water? Right? How long is it going to take to bring me my check? How long is it going to take to settle up this account? How long do I have to wait in line behind these cars? What is going on at this exit? Everything about life, it just seems like people are always getting in the way. Oh, life could be so wonderful if it wasn't for people. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I mean, what do we have to complain about? We can complain about anything and everything. And you can go on and on. What position does that put you in when you start going down that road? Have you ever been in a road like that? Am I the only one? You start thinking this way, and maybe you're in a little group, and everybody starts complaining about how bad something is. And all of a sudden, it's not so humble. It's a little arrogant. It's a little judgmental. It's being a little critical. All of a sudden, we're sitting in the position where we can now judge those before us and how they are. And all of a sudden, where's the long-suffering? Where's the patience? Where's the compassion? God made an amazing statement through the Apostle John. He said, "You love because He first loved you." And ultimately what that's saying is, I've received, so now I can love. Doug was talking about not just loving as we would love our neighbors as ourselves, but love as Christ loved us. Now, how thankful are you for the love that Christ has poured out upon you? A lot. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. What do you need to do to have everlasting life? To be saved? You have to accept the gift. You have to receive the gift. In other words, you have to be thankful for the gift. The word thank comes from the original English root word to think. And I love that when God showed me that many years ago, that the word think is the root of the word thank, because what is being thankful? It is taking the time to think about what has happened, to have an appreciation for what's been given, that causes us to be humble, that causes us to be grateful, that causes us to realize, wow, I didn't deserve that, but you gave it to me. And that causes so much to go on in our lives, because if we can't acknowledge God in everything, if we can't realize how He's been working in our lives, well, these things are a lot harder. They come more hard-pressed, because if there's not an appreciation of thought of God's existence, a thought of who God is, of God's love for us, then how are we going to grow an appreciation for these characteristics? But when we do realize, man, God has been merciful to me. Wow, God, what you've done for me. And you've seen me as I am with my sins, and yet you love me to save me. And you called me to draw near to you when of my own self I was not worthy to come. How patient have you had to be with me, God? How many times have I screwed up? How many times have I fallen short? How many times have I been unthinking, inconsiderate, disrespectful? How many times? And I have to say, God, I need you, because I'm not of myself. Thank you, thank you, thank you, God, that you are God for me in all my weakness. How much when I'm in a spirit of thanksgiving before God about who I am and how much I need Him and how much I appreciate what He's given me, how much does that then start to produce fruits and things in my heart and in my life that affect my approach to everything? I love because I see God in everything. The more thankful I am to acknowledge God, the more I love. My love comes from Him. It doesn't come from me. But the more I'm thankful for His love, you know, in 1 John chapter 4, it says that we know and believe the love that God has for us. The more we think about, are thankful for, are grateful for how God has loved us, the more we love. The more we see how He's forgiven us, the more we will be forgiving. If we really appreciate that forgiveness, why would we receive such great forgiveness and then not want to pass it on? Why would we receive such mercy and not want to pass it on? Where does hope come from? Because of the things He's promised, the things that He is, because He's in everything. I have hope. I can have patience because He's in everything. I can wait because He's in everything. I can suffer long because He's in everything. And what thanksgiving does is it opens up our mouths in our hearts to verbalize what is already there, that maybe we're blind to seeing, that God is in everything and everything and everything. And what we have been missing is we haven't seen it. But you see, when you start saying, thank you, Father, for the gift you've given me, thank you, God, it starts breaking off all the stuff of this world. It breaks away the veils that keep God hidden from our sight. And it opens and exposes us to see the glory of God and say, God, you are in everything. I am your kid. I'm here because of you. This is awesome to be alive. I love you. I want all that you have. Show me yourself that I may give you praise. And then as we worship God, as we look into the mirror, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:18, as we look into the mirror, we are changed from glory to glory into the image of Jesus Christ, because we see what He's opening our minds to see. We see life the way it truly is. And when we go through hardships, we are looking to give thanks as opposed to complain or dispute or whine. Jesus comes out to the wilderness, 5,000 men plus women and children. They got 2 fish and 5 loaves. They got a little bit of money, but Where are you even going to go buy food? They're out in the middle of the wilderness. And what John records for us so beautifully in John chapter 6 is that when Jesus took of the little, he did something so simple. It says he gave thanks. Us humanly, we say, why would he give thanks? It wasn't enough. Why would he give thanks? There's not enough there. Why wasn't he whining? God, why did you bring us to the wilderness when we have no food out here? These people are hungry. Where's the food? You see, when God brought Israel out, that is what they did. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, don't be like them. Learn from the example that when they were in the wilderness and they didn't have food and they didn't have water, he said they complained. Don't complain. What is complaining saying? I'm not acknowledging God in this circumstance. I'm taking you out of the picture, God. I choose not to live by faith. I'm not going to trust in you and praise you. I'm not going to humble myself and acknowledge you're sovereign. You created everything. What is God's lack? Tell me, where is it that he cannot show up for us? What can he not do for us? We have a whole world being fed by the things God created. A whole world being clothed. A whole world having shelter available. A whole world where there's abundance and blessing. Because I will tell you, I will submit to you that God has more than amply provided for everybody. Governments cause problems. Humans cause problems. Sin causes problems that prevents abundance, multiplication, lots for everybody. But it hasn't been God's problem. You say, well, why does God allow all the poor people? Why does God allow all this? I'm telling you, it's not God. The planet is not the problem. God's provision is not the problem. Mankind is the problem. We get in the way. Well, how do we solve the problem? Jesus Christ. To give thanks to God in all things through Christ and bring Christ into the picture. Why does everyone need Jesus? Because he's the only way. He's the truth. He's the life. He brings us to places where we see God. And now when we have a lack, Jesus, he's got 2 fish and 5 loaves. What? His mind's right here. You say, well, how does he give thanks when he doesn't have? Because this is where he is. He's thinking about his Father. He's thinking about what God can do, who God is, how God loves. He's thinking in a way of faith, of power, that is more than just what is seen. You see, if all that we do is act on what is seen, then where does faith come in? If all that we do is react to what we see, where does faith come in? And if we don't have faith, then why would we be giving thanks when we don't have the things that we desire? We don't. And then what do? We complain about our lack. We complain about our want. Giving thanks, saying, God, thank you, is a tool that can be used to unlock truth. It requires a humility and it requires an acknowledgement. But you might be going through times of complaining or feeling a lack in your life. You might be going through times where you're feeling like it's so hard, God. And the trials that you might be going through feel real stiff. And you feel like you're getting squeezed and pressed on different sides. And it's really easy to find ourselves broken in those places and maybe just being resigned to what it is. And that's not all bad if you will take that and turn it to saying, who is my God? God, I put my life into your hands. Thank you, God, for my life. I put this circumstance into your hands. Thank you, God, for how I feel. Thank you, God, for what it's boiling out. Some might say, I need more patience. I need more long suffering in my life. I feel like I'm very easily agitated and impatient. Do you know God's solution? He actually says in Scripture. Do you know what his solution for that? He gives trials. He literally says, the trial for what? For the working of patience. Read it. James, Romans. He says, I give trials so that you can become patient. He gives things to us, even that look bad to us, that if we evaluated not by faith but in sight, we'd say, that's messed up. That's messed up. What is the single greatest gift you've ever been given that you are so thankful for? The love of Christ. That love of Christ was shown by Christ coming from heaven to earth. Did that look like a good move? To give up where he was to come down here? How about having the creation challenge him constantly while he was ministering and teaching the word of the Father and in healing people? He was healing people and people were mad. Does that look like a winner? What about all his disciples on the night in which he was to be betrayed? They all fled him. And the most bold one of all, Peter, denied him 3 times, just as he knew. But it says they all fled. How is that looking? What about the fact that one of the 12 that was with him the whole time betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver and kissed him? What about the fact that he was taken with no cause? What wrong had this one done? And that they beat him and they mocked him and they made fun of him and they put a crown of thorns on his head and bowed down and just made a big mockery. He did no ill to anyone. And then they scourged him and they beat him. And then after that, they decide to crucify him. And he carries his cross and he's so weak he can't even carry the cross. But he goes out and he gives his life as a ransom. Has there ever been a more unjust act in a visual human sense than that? What was the charge against him? What was the wrong? Did he murder? Did he steal? Did he rob? Did he rape? Did he pillage? What did he do? It was for his goodness that he was put to death. Now, if we look at it in a human standpoint, we would say it's wrong. It's unrighteous. We should be indignant about it. And yet, as believers with faith, it's the most wonderful thing that ever happened to us. That God appointed it to be such that rather than all people dying, better that one die, that there could be life given to the rest. Goodness died. Unrighteousness was put upon the Holy One for you and me to have life. To believe that, you've got to acknowledge God. Because if you take God out of that picture, how could you be thankful for that? How could you say that's the most thing you're happy for in your life, right? How could I? That the most beautiful, wonderful gift is a thing that in itself, by man viewing it, is so wrong and unrighteous. And yet we say we're thankful. How is it that God can do this with trials in life? How is it that God can do this with the things that we go through? I look back to some of the hard things in my life where I felt like I was lost, where I felt I was going to lose everything that I had. And I realized that all that, God, it wasn't about the stuff. It was about me coming to acknowledge God is my helper. God is my strength. God is my salvation. God is my deliverer. God is my provider. And in realizing that and giving thanks to God, I could go through terrible things of feeling injustice and having things brought against me, whether it's people attacking my business or people bringing lawsuits against me that were 100% unjust. Now, you know, I look back and say, thank you, God. That was so awesome of you. That was awesome because it was through that I realized how much I needed to have undone in me. because I was trying to justify myself. I was trying to make myself right. I was trying to say, this is wrong. 100%, it's lies. It's all wrong. God, why is it on me? Now I look and I say, thank you, God. And that's how God brought me out of it, was with thanksgiving. Because if I need to go through hardness in the pit to come to the place where He can be brighter before my eyes, where veils can be removed, where doubt can be dealt with, where impatience can be pushed out, where the things that drag us down through our trials and keep us low in a spirit of complaining and disputing, if that can be rid, then to God be the glory. To God be the glory if I can be humbled and He can be elevated. To God be the glory if I can realize He's the giver and I'm the receiver. To realize His sovereignty, to realize His excellence, to realize who God is in everything in our lives. So He does this wonderful thing. And notice with me, and just turn over a couple pages here to Philippians 4, verse 6. He says, Philippians 4, verse 6, be anxious for nothing. And that's a lot of what causes complaining, isn't it? We get anxious for stuff. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. You might say, how do I give thanks in my request? How can I be thankful for what I'm asking for when I don't have what I'm asking for? But that's what Jesus did when He gave thanks. He acknowledged God. See, He had 2 fish and 5 loaves, but what did He really have? He had the God of the universe. He had His Father in heaven. What did He lack? Nothing. And this is what drives faith in our lives, to have an acknowledgement of God, to be able to realize, I love because of God. You love because you acknowledge God. You have hope because you acknowledge God. You have faith because you acknowledge God. You give forgiveness and have it because you acknowledge God. You have humility, long-suffering, reverence, worship because you acknowledge God. All these things bring us back. And what thanksgiving does is it gives language to humility. It gives language to faith. It gives language to trust that you, God, are in everything. And though I don't see what I desire, I make my request known to you with thanksgiving, because I'm asking the one who has it all. And you, God, are my God. If it's not good for me, don't give it to me, God. If you can give me this, Father, I thank you. But in everything, thank you. Thank you for trials. Thank you for hardships. Thank you for what I go through. We're not going to end this message without giving thanks. I want you to say short prayers with me. All right? Can we do that? We'll keep them short. Right now, I just want you to take a moment and think about the fact that you exist. That you're conscious. And thank God. I want you to think about what existing means, that you can think, that you can reason, and thank God for that. I want you to start at your head, and I want you to just, if you can see, thank God for that. Can you hear? Can you smell? Thank God for that. Can you taste? Do you have teeth or dentures so you can chew? Thank God for that. Can you touch and feel? Can you experience emotion? Thank God for that. Can you digest food? Do you have arms, hands? Do you have fingers, thumbs? Thank you, God. Do you have feet, toes, or at least 9 of them? Sorry, Scott. Give thanks for the half toe. If you have a house or a place to live at night, a place of shelter, thank God for that shelter. And if it's a really nice shelter, if you just feel like, wow, thank you, God, just give him extra thanks for what that looks like. Maybe you have a big backyard. Maybe you have some things that you really want and God gave it to you. I'd give him thanks for that right now. Do you have any food at your house? If you do have food there waiting for you, would you give God thanks for that? If you're wearing clothes right now, give God thanks for that. I know we are. You got clothes at home? Thank God for that. If you have a means of transportation to take you from home to work or home to the store or home to church, thank God that you have a means of transportation. Do you have employment? Like, you need employment? Do you have a job where you can make money to provide for your family and to have these things? If you do, thank God for that. And if you don't, you're looking for one, thank God for that. Thank God for how he's going to make the way for you. Thank God that he makes the appointment for you. Thank God for his goodness in every way of provision. Think of God's protection. How has God watched over you in your life and protected you? Thank God for that. As we celebrate Thanksgiving this week, can we take a moment right now to thank God for the people that had the courage to leave a homeland, to come to a place where there was no home or Hilton or restaurant or store waiting for them, but they came all the way across the ocean to plant a country that we get the benefit of. Thank you, God, for those people. The people who sacrificed to cut down forests and build structures and to build roads and places, God. And they never got to enjoy the benefit of like we do today. God, thank you for all the sacrifices of the men and women that have gone before us in the military, in the protections, in the construction, in the building of bridges, in the building of infrastructure, in the building of this government that declares, God, that you created us with unalienable rights. God, it's just amazing. It's just amazing. God, thank you. Thank you that even those who were so strong in disagreement could be unified on the establishment of a new country based on the fact that you gave things like life, liberty. God, thank you. Thank God for his great love for you that he sent his son Jesus. What kind of love is it that you would give someone who is so perfect to die for those who are so imperfect? And not only that, that we might become the righteousness of God. Thank Jesus for laying down his life for you. What does that mean to you that Jesus laid down his life? Jesus, thank you so much that you saw fit to lay down yourself for us. Thank you, God, that you did not leave us orphans here, but that you sent us your Holy Spirit. What does it mean, my friends, to have the Holy Spirit of God? We don't even know how to pray as we ought. The Spirit makes intercession to lead us into truth, to guide us, to direct us, to convict us of sin, to convict us of righteousness, to testify of Jesus, to tell us things to come. Oh God, how do we live life without you? Be thankful for the Holy Spirit. I want you to be thankful for your family. If you're a kid, be thankful for your parents, brother, sister. If your parents, be thankful for your children. Be thankful for the siblings, the uncles. Thank God for a grandparent or uncle that had a wonderful influence in your life. Thank God for the people that have been around you who have served you. Be thankful for the people around you that you can serve today. I want you to think about friendships that you have presently. I want you to thank God for the friends that you have in your life. And I want you to thank Him for the new ones that are coming. I want you to think back to friendships that you had. Maybe they were more passionate friendships in years past. Maybe they were friendships that don't exist any longer. It doesn't matter. Thank God for the friendship that you had and while they lasted. I want you to thank God right now for someone in your life who needs Jesus. I want you to thank God for creating that person. And I want you to make your request known for that person with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for creating him. Thank you, God, that you are the one who calls and chooses. Thank you, God, that you convert even those who are against you, like Saul to Paul. Thank you, God. Convert them. Convert him. Convert her. I want you to think if there's any person who's against you in your life, who thinks ill of you, who acts like an enemy towards you, who is not friendly. If you have any person like that, I want you to thank God for that person. Maybe it's an ex-spouse. Maybe it's somebody that you were friends with and now you're enemies with. Maybe it's somebody at your workplace who's against you, in your neighborhood, who just, for whatever reason, it's just you didn't hit it off and they now seem to be working against you. You don't have anybody like that in your life? Pray for somebody who's against the president. Thank God for that person and make a request for that person. Maybe that their hearts would be softened. Maybe that they would be made to be at peace with you or with our president. Pray that they would have a blessing to know that you're not against them. And if you are against them and if you are working against, then let the prayer of thanksgiving lead you to repentance. And let the prayer of thanksgiving lead you into a place of mercy. And as you have received of mercy with thanksgiving to God, take of the mercy that God gives and with that thanksgiving, give it to that person. Set your heart to be thankful in all things. Are you facing a trial in your life? I want you to thank God for it. Is there something going on in your life? Maybe you're looking for a place to live. You're looking for a new job. You're having relationship issues. You know what it is. I'm asking you to take whatever that is pressing on you. A health issue. A heart issue. Unable to overcome issue. God, thank you. Thank you for how you are God in the midst. And while I can see lack in myself, God, thank you that you are God and I acknowledge you in this situation. And thank you that you are the God who actually told me to cast my cares upon you because you care for me. Thank you, God. Thank you that you're with me to the end. I want you to thank God for Scott and Carolyn and Stephanie. I want you to thank God because this church needed them in the beginning and God called them and they responded to do work here so that this church could be a place that is organized and beautiful and well-administrated and is a place where God's love is shown in their attitudes and in their hearts to others and in their service. If you're thankful for this church, I want you to thank God for those three people. They are to be treasured and respected.
Thank you, David.
I want you to thank God for the people that are in this room that you have fellowship with every week. I want you to thank God that there are people here that love you and care for you. I want you to thank God for the ones that maybe are new, that haven't really built many deep friendships yet, but they want to. I want you to thank God for the people that are yet coming. I want you to thank God for how He loves them. Because I believe if you thank God for how He loves them, you're going to love them. Just like Doug was teaching today, God, help us. Help us to appreciate one another here. Help us to prize loving one another as the basis of all unity in this church. That above all else, what is known, God, that You loved us and we love each other. That You started it and we are following it because, God, we are thankful to You for Your love, for Your passion. How many of you right now just feel like you want to spend more time thanking God? The thing about when you start thanking God, you find more to thank God. It's like it opens a box where love and faith and hope, because what you're doing is you're tapping into God's will for you. Chris just said it because that was my next question. You beat me to it. I love it. He said it brings peace. It brings a peace that passes understanding. You don't even know what it is, but here's what it is. It's the will of God. The will of God brings peace. When you know what God wants of you, you are at peace. And what are we to be doing? To be giving thanks in all things. To be offering up and not be anxious, but to make our requests known with thanksgiving. Because it's the will of God in Christ Jesus. And the peace that passes understanding will guard your heart in mind in Christ Jesus. We celebrate Thanksgiving in this country once a year because the founders of this country, they wanted to stop and acknowledge. Presidents want to stop and acknowledge. To this day, there's a Thanksgiving proclamation on every Thanksgiving day by the President of the United States to remind us what we should be thankful for. It's a one-day thing that we should remember why we do it. But it's an everyday thing, and we should remember why we do it. It's the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's praise Him.